small country. What's the name of that country that made them go over there? What's the name of the country? Remember? Kuwait. See that little Kuwait. Suppose God has told you that Kuwait will be the cause of a war. What is it? You say Kuwait? They don't even have an army. But God was saying something happened, somebody attacked Kuwait, and then the whole America and the people went over there to defend Kuwait. So when God said Japan will be the cause of it, you know what he's talking about. When you know the history, you know the story now, there has been some skirmishes between China and Japan, and America is always there to defend Japan. So God said there will be a third world war. But that is not my story. I'm just telling you about this thing so that you may know all these things are already prophesied that it will happen. World war, nuclear war, it can be in your generation. And there will be many more things. Destruction of the world. Revelation chapter 3. Open to Revelation chapter 3. I'm just giving you things that we know that will take place at the end of the world. When Apostle Paul said, we that are alive and remain. So there are two types of remaining. That's what I'm trying to say. Some people remaining means they were not dead because there will be too much destruction in the end of the world. That's remaining. But the other part of remaining means they also remain in Christ. Because the another prophecy in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 3 said there will be a falling away from the church, falling away from Christianity. That also will take place. We know that has been taking place. We call it apostasy. But that is another form of whether you will remain in Christ. It's a question. You also know that there will be, at the end of the world, the mark of the beast. There will be an antichrist. Revelation chapter 13 talks about antichrist that will be marking the world. You cannot buy or sell unless you take the mark of the beast. And the Bible says anyone that takes the mark of the beast is doomed. So then, if that time meets you here, and you are still standing for Jesus, then you are one of them that remain. So when Apostle Paul said, we that are alive and remain, that's a very loaded word, remain. Because there will be terrible destruction. Are they still alive? There will be terrible falling away. Are you still one of them still standing for Jesus? So that is the remaining that we are talking about today. But if I ask you a question, and said, if the Lord Jesus Christ come today, with a show of hands, how many of you think if he comes today and the sky just open and saints begin to disappear, I'm so sure I'm one of them. I want your hands up. You are so sure. You are so sure that if Jesus Christ come today and the sky open and Christians are just flying up, saints of God, you are so sure that Jesus Christ will take you. I want to answer. So you see, 50%. 50%, which means, now if your hand is like this, it means you are not sure. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, this is because it's expected to be a joyful thing for believers. This is what the Lord said. Luke chapter 21, verse 28. Open to Luke, put that on the screen. Luke chapter 21, verse 28. That's why we are going to talk about this today. Because if you are not sure, the Bible says if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. If I'm not really sure, yeah, that means you are not sure. And God is greater than that. It's your heart that's just witnessing against you that you are not right with God. And you want to be right with God. Making your peace with Jesus. Because the Bible says he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So if you have not made your peace with God and you still have some unsettled accounts with the devil, with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have unsettled accounts, you better come today. We're going to give you opportunity to settle your account so that this coming of the Lord is not like, I hope he's not coming today. No, it should be, yes, you are ready for him. Are you sure? That is what I mean by are you sure. If you are saying like, I see it's coming today, is it true of tomorrow? Are you sure? I'm not sure. No, if you want to be, yes. But what about what you just started? It has nothing to do with your business. Remember? It has nothing to do with what you are doing in the world. Those are you can leave those behind. Let me ask you a question. Suppose you are building a house and you are 3%, 30% done. Will death, the normal physical death that kills people, will death try to say, well, I would like to wait till you finish your house before I come? No. Death kills. We know that's the devil. So why should you now be saying, yeah, Jesus, don't come because I just started this project? Forget about that, because you are going to a better place. Amen? If you know you are going to a better place, people may be weeping. When I was coming to America, I know I was going to a better place. People may not like me leaving Nigeria because I had to sell my house and, you know, sell my car and so on and so forth and tell my parents and this and that. And they may not be happy. But I knew I was going to a better place. So, if you know you are going to a better place, when Jesus comes, you will not be sad. Nothing. You will be excited, happy. Forget about all the things you have. In fact, look at an example. Pharaoh, in the days of Joseph, Pharaoh told Joseph, tell your daddy, he was trying to bring his father, Jacob, from Canaan. Tell them not to regard anything they have there. Don't regard it. Forget whatever you have there. Come over here, I will feed you. That is what you should be thinking of when you are talking about the Lord's coming. What do you have on this world? Oh, gee, what about that house? What about my account? Forget about this, because you are going to a better place. Mansions. Mansions. In Luke chapter 21, verse 20, the Lord said, when these things begin to come to pass, what did he say you should do? Be afraid? Panic? No. He said, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. But now, that is for the believers. That is for the Christians. Those who have settled all the accounts with God. And they are looking. See, they look for his coming. They long for his appearing. That is the passion that should be in you and in me for the Lord's coming. That passion. I remember sometimes I would see my people praying, and they are praying, oh God, save America. Oh God, save America. This man is trying to kill us. I just laugh. Well, let him come and kill us. Let's get to heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, not that we want them to start this nuclear war, but see, if you are looking up, you'll be happy. Your redemption is coming now. It's drawing near. That is how you should be looking at this homegoing that we are talking about. The homegoing. The Lord is coming. If you are not that excited about the Lord's coming, you need to shake your heart. Unto them that look for him will he appear the second time without sin unto glory. We say, where is that in the Bible? Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. So you have to be looking for him. The last verse, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. If you are not excited for the Lord's coming, you need to check yourself that, are you walking with him? Are you afraid that if he comes today, he's going to disrupt your plans? Your set, well-made, well-set-up plans. Praise the Lord. If you are making your plans without God, that's dangerous. If you are making your plans without God, that is so dangerous. The Lord just gave a story. He said, there was a certain man that his fields just started to blossom. And he has so much things. And he said, wait, what am I going to do with all this, my goods? He said, oh, I know what I will do. I will tear down my barn and build a bigger one and store all these things in that barn. And I will tell my soul, you have so much things laid up for many years. Take your ease. Enjoy your life and now rest. And Christ said, thou fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. He said, then whose will all those things you have set up, that you have laid up, whose will they be? He said, so shall it be for those who are making all these plans for their lives and they have forgotten God. They don't have God in that plan. So that's why I say it's very dangerous to be planning and say, Lord, don't come yet. I have this project. I need to finish this project. Or I want to get married. I want to get to college. I want to graduate from this. Keep doing that. Nothing stops you from getting married. Occupy till I come, is what he says. Nothing but your heart. Where is your heart is what matters. Let your heart be that he's coming soon. Because you'll be going to a better place.
That is what the Lord is saying to us. Let your heart be that he is coming soon, because you are going to a better place. Like I said, who will remain is the point. Remain, because there are terrible things going on right now. Terrible things are already happening in the world. Persecution is already taking place. You have heard in stories in Iraq, where they said this extreme jihadist ISIS beheading people, Christians. The Bible said those will happen at the end of the world. They are already taking place. So when Apostle Paul said, we that are alive and remain, he's talking about those things, because there will be terrible destruction, persecution at the end of the world. And another, the Lord Jesus Christ also gave it to us to make us to know these things will take place. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. The Lord was giving us some warning here. He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That hour of temptation is going to be a form of persecution. It's going to be the Antichrist coming upon the world, marking the rest of all the world. And the Bible says anyone that received the mark of that Antichrist, we go to the wrath of God. Revelation chapter 14. So that will be an hour of temptation when you cannot buy or sell if you don't receive the mark of the beast. I don't know, many of us may not be familiar with this thing. Maybe I'm just saying it. Let's go slowly and point it out from the Bible. That there will be a terrible time. Like I said, there are two types of remaining. Are you going to still be alive when this thing occurred? Or are you going to still be standing for Jesus when this rapture occurs? Because if you are already passed on to glory through death in the grave because of old age or anything else, Jesus Christ said he will resurrect those that are Christians, and they will come and meet with those who are alive, and then we are going to meet him in the clouds. So that's why I say, if you are already gone to your reward, God is going to bring them back and they're going to resurrect. First resurrection. Then that's a form of escaping. But that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for to be alive, because this thing is so sure, it's so soon. Now, if you are one of them that are alive physically, are you still remaining in Christ? That is your own challenge, because of the terrible things that is already beginning to creep in. Are you still remaining in Christ? Let's look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. Part of the thing the Lord Jesus Christ will be to try them that are upon the earth. This is about the Antichrist. Many of us are familiar with all these things in those days. Look like people are no more talking about it. That there will be a world government, a ruler of the world that will take over, maybe through United Nations. And they already have the technology right now, because in the days when this thing was written, 2,000 years ago, it looked like, how will this happen? Well, we know it can happen now. This Antichrist, we call him Antichrist. The Bible said in the book of Revelation chapter 13, that is a beast, that is the spirit that is ruling this through this man, is a beast. And he will not only rule the whole world. In verse 7, he said, and it was given unto him, this man Antichrist, to make war with the saints. Now, war with the saints is really persecution, because the saints are, we don't have a country that we are going to fight another country, but we are country in ourselves individually. And to overcome them, that is the key thing. He said, if we war with the saints and overcome them, eh? What do you mean by overcome them? Many people will be killed. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, as we go further down, he said another beast came up that marked the world. And let's read that part in verse 16. It's the same government, national, international government, and they are forming up right now, United Nations, American government with all its allies and so on. And here he said there's another beast that came up. And this beast called the false prophet, people brand him as the false prophet, was the one that did this in verse 16. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell. See, that is economy right now. Save he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, look at it like a social security number. In the many years ago, we have been thinking, well, the social security number is not good. It's going to lead to this. But it says it's going to be upon their forehead. So nobody is putting a number upon anybody's forehead so far. Everybody has social security number in America, but they are not commanding you to put it on your forehead or in your hand. But as the generation keep going, we are now seeing the technology has come to a position where they now have what they call radio frequency identification system, RFID. Now it's formally in your card. You have a bank card, and your card, they say, if you touch this chip, then you just plug it in. Now they have gone beyond that. They have made that RFID, that chip, to be so small that you can actually put the numbers and every information of you in that chip, and you can actually implant it on your hand. And they are now just taking it for fun. Voluntarily, people are taking it right now. There's a company in America here that said where you can, they want all their employees to take it. This has been going on in Europe. And all the employees are taking it voluntarily. Some people said, no, this may be what the Bible is talking about. And now you can go into Google mark of the beast on the internet. You see many people are now saying, hey, but don't take this mark. Don't take this chip under the skin. Well, the government, the Antichrist government, that is going to make it mandatory. It's not here yet. So it's not mandatory yet. But this is where the world is going. You see, this was prophesied 2,000 years ago when there was no computer, when there was no ship or anything. But the eyes of God have already seen it coming, and it's coming in your generation, in my generation. And it's already here. The technology is here. And we have been praying. I'm actually more concerned with the children and the grandchildren, because who knows? This may not be occurring in 30 years. It may not become mandatory in 30 years. It may be mandatory, maybe in 20 years, maybe in 30, maybe in 40. But see, it's going to be those who are going to schools, hospitals, because they started with the medical records. Medical records. Every medical record is being put in those chips. Oh, what's the reason for this? Oh, you know, if you have an accident and you need to go to the doctor, they don't have to be putting all this badge on your hand. It's already in your hand on your forehead. That looked like fun. It looked like, well, so convenient. So convenient. Why is God against it? That is the question everybody is asking. This thing is so good, so convenient. In fact, you know, the immigration problem, all these illegal aliens are sneaking in. We want to identify our own people. So we need to push sheep under the skin. So convenient. Why is anybody saying it's wrong? Why? God sees what you cannot see. That is what we are talking about during the Bible study or during the review. God sees what you cannot see. And that is why he has given that warning 2,000 years before this thing begins to show up. And he said in Revelation chapter 14 that this mark of the beast, let's see where God said it is wrong for anybody to take it. In Revelation chapter 14, read from verse 9. See, God sees what you and I cannot see. We are seeing a convenience. Instead of credit card, you go to the grocery store right now, you have to use your credit card. Very soon they may say you don't need any cash. They may face off all these dollar bills, naira bills, any of those currencies, and say, well, it's too much, and they want it to just be, you have to have your money in the bank, and you wire through the bank to the bank to the grocery stores, and everything is electronic. Well, they have been trying that for almost since I was alive, and it's getting closer and closer. Now, where we don't need that, we use credit card. When I came to this country, the first time I came to this country from Nigeria, just for a visit, and I wanted to rent a car at the airport. And they said, do you have credit card? I said, what's that? I'm talking of 1980s. I was still in Nigeria, so there was no credit card in Nigeria, so I had none. He said, well, you cannot rent you a credit card with a car without a credit card in Los Angeles. So they said, well, if you don't have a credit card, you have to make a big deposit. How much? You have to cash $500 from my pocket. We'll get it back if you bring our car back. Well, so for their convenience, I have to put out $500. They said, well, if you have credit card, you don't need that. So that was then. So everybody is, now it's no more credit. And it's, that is the, I'm just telling you why the world was going in that direction. Now it's going to be, if you don't have that chip under your skin, you cannot even do anything. It started with credit card. If you don't have that chip under your skin, when this thing comes, you cannot buy or sell. That's what we read in verse 16 of Revelation chapter 13. No man might buy or sell unless they have the number of the name or the mark of the beast, and that is coming. But look at what God said, why God sees what we cannot see. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, verse 10 of Revelation chapter 14, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. That is the damnation, eternal punishment for taking the mark of the beast. So what God is saying, God sees what we cannot see. Why is God against this thing that is so convenient? You don't need the credit card anymore. All you need is this chip under your skin, in your forehead. But God sees what you cannot see. So why is it wrong? In the book of Revelation chapter 3, God said, those who overcome, one of the things he promises, I will write my name upon their foreheads. God wants to write his name upon your forehead. And the devil says, I will write my number upon their forehead before you do that. So now, whom are you going to serve? On whose side are you at? So you can see why God said, don't take the mark. Because God wants to write his name upon your forehead in the spirit. But Satan wants to write his mark and his number upon your forehead and your hand like agreement with the devil, with economy. You cannot. Are you worshiping your belly or you are going to worship the Lord God Almighty? So you say, why does God say it's wrong? Because it is more spiritual than physical. It's a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle than physical. So, but the Lord said, when you see all these things taking place, he didn't say you should be sad and afraid. Say, look up, because we are going to a better place. In fact, Apostle Paul said, any suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen? Look like everybody is afraid. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you afraid that these things are coming, or you are going to say, well, Lord Jesus, come quickly so I can get out of here before this mark of the beast is open up. Let me get out of here before the mark of the beast. Another thing I pray, somebody can say, well, you know, if you are in the hospital, you don't know what's going on. They hospitalize somebody and the medical doctor say, well, give them mark. And that may be where they will start these things, mark of the beast from the hospitals, because medical records are now being computerized and things like that. Well, God can protect me from going to the hospital. So that's what it's going to have to raise up your faith at this end time. Are you going to walk with God by faith? Are you going to be just doing it the way the world? You want to have faith in the Lord right now. Faith, he said, they overcame. He that overcometh, it's what God is saying, shall inherit all things. There's going to be something to overcome. So are you ready to overcome? Are you ready to fight? He said, fight this good fight of faith. So it is for you to know that I want to stand. Apostle Paul said, we that are alive and remain. Remain in Christ, number one. Remain a Christian and not take the mark because I can't buy or sell. There are some movies that we have done in the 80s that make people to be afraid that, this thing is coming. I better get right with God. You better get right with God. Today is the day we're going to ask you to come and get right with God. If you are, like I say, if you are not sure, you are not sure to raise up your hand and say, if the Lord comes today, I'm ready, I want him. Come, Lord Jesus. That means your heart is condemning you. And you want to make it right today. And say, Lord, I want to be ready. This world is not my own. We say, well, but suppose it doesn't come in 10 years. It doesn't say you should go and leave everything and go and camp and waiting for him on a mountain. No. Occupy till I come. Keep busy. And Jesus Christ put it one way. He said, they will begin to persecute. He said, if they persecute you in one city, he said, flee to the other city. But keep preaching. Keep telling them. So there may be a time for that. It doesn't say you should fold and go and hide somewhere in a cave. No. You are to keep representing Christ wherever you find yourself. But look up because he's coming soon. But live right for him. Search yourself. Am I ready for Jesus? Is there any weight, any sin that is easily besetting us? Is there any offense when you say you are a saved believer, you are born again? If you have not been born again, you want to first do that and say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. Let's wrap it up that way. If you have not been born again, you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, everything I'm saying will be terrifying you that there's going to be world war. Yes, you better be afraid, because if you have not accepted Jesus, if you die, where do you go? Where do you go if you die today? If you have not accepted Jesus. So the first thing is to make it right. Make your peace with God first. Now, number two, if you know you have accepted Jesus, Jesus Christ is in you. Now, don't be afraid that the world is coming to an end. Hey, that's make it faster. It's coming soon. You should now be looking up, because he said, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Praise the Lord. And if you are still thinking, well, gee, I have some plans I have set up and I don't want him to come yet. You see, I don't want him to disrupt my plans. You are like that man that Christ said, thou fool, what you are setting up, you are not putting God in your plan. Put God in your plan. Let him be the one guiding your life. So if you have to leave everything and go, you are not worried about that, because you are going to a better place. So if you are not ready in your heart, if you are not ready in your heart, I want you to stand up and let's pray. Everybody just stand up. Everybody just stand up. If you are not ready, stand up on your feet. You are not ready in your heart. You are saying, hey, if this thing begins to take place, this Antichrist mark, and you cannot buy or sell, are you going to sell your soul to the devil for food? How long can you last? How long will you be able to last if any of these things begin to take place? How long will you last? Think about that. Think deep and say, Lord, it's time for me to make it right now. Make my peace with God. If suddenly something happened, earthquake. There have been terrible prophecies about earthquake in the West Coast, that millions will die. And it could happen. Many people are not even worried about that. But are they ready for the Lord is the question. If it happens and they die, are they going to heaven or are they going to hell? So that's why you want to make your peace with God first and foremost. Before you talk about the mark of the beast, which will come, people can pray it off and let it be postponed. People have been saying, you know, this new president, Donald Trump, is going to delay this thing. Delaying it is one thing, but it will come because the Bible says so. The Bible has prophesied it will take place. And it may be delayed, but it will take place. But if you are caught in this situation, are you going to sell your soul for the loaf of bread just because you cannot buy yourself? Or you are going to be ready to suffer? Because Apostle Paul said, there is no suffering of this present time that can be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, for our light affliction, Apostle Paul called it, say, affliction, but it's going to be very light compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That weight of glory is the hope that we are saying, the Lord is coming soon, we are going to a better place. And if you are not ready in your heart, I want you to just come forward and come and make it right with God. Just come and make it right. Say, Lord, if the rapture comes today, I'm not sure I'm ready. If you are not sure, you are not coming to me, come and talk to the Lord. If you are not sure you are ready, we can be little. A little child can miss it. An old man can miss the rapture. A baby can miss it. An adult can miss it. A wife can miss it. Bible even said, two will be on a bed. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field and one suddenly disappear and the other left. That can happen any moment from now. And we are saying, if you are not sure that if that happens, you are the one that will be taken in the rapture, then you better come and talk to the Lord Jesus Christ right now and say, Lord, help me. Make my heart ready. Make me ready in my heart. If there's anything in my mind that is still weighing me down, Lord, take it away from me. The altar is open. And don't be afraid, because you are dealing with the Lord, not with pastors, not with anybody. And the Lord is looking at your heart and saying, is this man really ready? The question is, when will it happen? Brother, can you put in that PowerPoint? People will say, when will this thing happen? Is it something that is so close? There have been so many predictions. Maybe we are in the 78th week, or we are in the 70th, we are this far away, we are not that far away. But nonetheless, whatever time it happens, it is whether you are ready with Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to come in your life? It has to do with whether, even if you die today, are you going to heaven? Make sure that is settled first. Make sure that is settled. You don't have unforgiveness in your heart that will make you go to hell. You don't have bitterness in your heart that will make you go where you don't want to go. That is very important. First, settle that in your heart. And that's why I say the altar is open. Come over and come and talk to the Lord. Let the Lord touch your heart and cleanse you. Because the Lord is coming soon. He wants you to be ready, so that when he comes, you are free. You are free. Don't let any weight, any business. Just come before the altar and kneel down and talk to the Lord yourself. Everybody that thinks you know you are not ready, come forward. And if you don't come forward, I remember a movie. In that movie of this Mark of the Beast and Son, the evangelist was challenging those who are left behind. Said, hey, when the evangelist came forward and was invited, why didn't you go forward? He said, well, you didn't tell us twice. Maybe if you have told us over and over again, maybe I will have repented. This is your opportunity. You'll make it right with God now. So don't be shy. Don't be respecting faces. If you want to make it right with God, come and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not, doesn't look like I'm ready if you come. I want to be sure. And we're just going to pray together. Because it is the Lord that is watching, watching your heart. It's watching my heart. And saying, am I serious with this Christianity? Am I serious with my life with Christ? Am I serious to go with him when he comes? Or I'm too busy? I'm too busy in this world. I have things that are going to make me millionaire in a few minutes. If you come down, I'm not ready. No. But I make it right with God. So that come by the shed, that come by the heart, but shed and how but the corner. Not everybody pray. You pray for yourself. So that come by the heart, but shed. Father, we have spoken your word. These things that have been prophesied, they will take place. But Lord Jesus, we are trusting you. And we want to be right. We want to make it right with you. I speak for myself. I speak for all my families and all the brethren that are here. Speak for themselves. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus yourself. You can talk to him. Nobody needs to know laying down of hands. You just talk to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to make it right with you. Touch my heart, Lord. Set me free from all this worldliness. It's one of the things that will take a lot of people into the mark of the beast, because they cannot separate themselves from their belly when the things shall come. Talk to Jesus. Just kneel down on your knees. Just talk to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life to you. I want to be right with you. So when you come in the rapture, I want to be there. I want to be one of them that will go and meet you in the air. And if the time comes and you are getting old to the point that the time has not come yet, you want to be sure that the Lord has accepted you, nothing hindering you from being with him in heaven. So the call of Bashed, the other combat, the hold of Bakoda Bashad, the other combat, the hope of the order of the shed. Say all the combat, the hope of the shed, the other combat, the order of Bakoda Bashed, the cobra. Say the other combat, the hope of the order of combat, the shed, the other combat, the hold of Bashed, the cobra. So anybody else? Come and talk to Jesus. He is listening. And he's the one we are dealing with. He said, everything is plain to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We are dealing with the Almighty God who seeth our heart, and he seeth our ways, and he seeth our behaviors. And he knows that if he comes today, in fact, there are many people have seen visions, say God showed to them that if he comes today, almost 90% of the people in churches will not go because they were full of themselves, because any of them are secret sins, unconfessed sins. The Bible says, if you confess your sin, but people put down and say, well, this is no sin. They justify it. You cannot justify it. Come and talk to you. Come and make it. Come and open it up before the Lord. The bitterness, the jealousy, the unforgiveness, and all these other things that is hiding in the, that only God can see. But God wants you to ask Him to open it up for you so that you can see yourself the way He sees you. And don't deceive yourself and say, well, I think I'm right. If your heart condemns you in any part, in fact, James, the book of James said, if you have offended in one of those laws, he said, you have already offended all. The one that said, don't kiss, say, don't tell lies. The one that said, don't commit adultery, is the same one that says, don't bear false witness. But people, by just telling, gossiping alone can be false witness. Just gossiping. What you have not, you have no evidence. You are already saying it that somebody is a false witness. And you say, you are not a sinner. Well, you better come and repent and ask the Lord to wash you with His blood and forgive you and make you pure. He said, if you confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will cleanse you only if you repent and ask Him to cleanse you. If you confess it before Him, just confess it to Him. Don't confess to anybody. Ask Him to wash you. It's coming soon. Now, say this after me. If you come forward, you wanted to accept Jesus.
Have you accepted Jesus?